Blog Talk Radio.
Midnight Hour, broadcasting from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This evening's segment on the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, we have a blockbuster prophecy given from the Lord directly to the United States of America. A prophecy of a massive earthquake coming to the United States. This follows rapidly on the heels of a prophecy given July 16th, 2013, that we covered briefly, roughly the first or second week of August, as well here live on the radio. July 16th was tremendous judgment. And the Lord has followed that up. September 8th, 2013, of a massive earthquake coming to the United States of America. We'll play the segment briefly from the Mighty Prophet as it was broadcast live. It's important to note that the Lord has been speaking to the United States, to the church, and to the United States, as well as the land of the United States of America, to repent. That means to turn away from sin and return to the Lord. But the church needs to repent for love of money in the church that we see now that has gone rampant and we are exporting globally. Repent from sexual sin in the house of the Lord, where not only is the attire and immodesty over the top and looks as though it's a nightclub instead of a house of worship, but we also have leaders in the land of the United States of America taking the LGBT sin agenda and trying to export it to foreign nations. And the church has even done so, and she has fallen so far, she barely has the blood in her to blush. So we will hear from the Mighty Prophet. This is Dr. David Awar, the Lord's end time servant. You will find in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, as well as other places in Scripture. Let's hear the prophecy given to the United States of America as it was given in real time, a massive earthquake coming to the USA, and then we'll come back as well, line by line, and see what the Lord is speaking, and as he's calling us to national repentance, and calling the church to repentance, and calling the individual saint in the land, in the house of the Lord, to return to the Lord, and even those that don't know the Lord. Now is the opportunity, as we find in Joel 2:28 through 32. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll go into more detail of that after this segment. Let's listen to the mighty prophet and see how this works.
Praise the Lord, mightiest prophet of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor Joanne. The Lord has spoken with me this morning very, very seriously. The Lord has spoken with me this morning and very, very seriously about an event that is going to come, a big event, very big. And in this conversation, there is a tremendous sense of urgency on this. The Lord, again, has spoken with me about a tremendous event that is about to befall. And all these points towards the coming of the Messiah, the glorious coming of the Messiah. And the Lord has spoken with me, Elohim, Hoseinu, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Elion, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah El Olam, Jehovah Rohi, El Shaddai. He has spoken with me about a very, very massive earthquake that is coming to the Western Hemisphere. There is going to be a massive earthquake come to the Western Hemisphere. And this earthquake will hit the United States of America very, very, very massively. There is a huge tremblor, a huge earthquake that is coming to hit the United States of America. And I do not know whether it happened at night or in the day, but this will be a very, very huge earthquake. And if this is not handled very well, this could be very catastrophic. Again, the Lord has spoken with me, even as I prepare to leave to the Western Hemisphere. He has spoken with me about a very, very massive shaking, a massive earthquake that he is going to bring into the Western Hemisphere. As I move, as I leave towards the Western Hemisphere, he's going to bring a very massive earthquake into the Western Hemisphere. And a huge earthquake is going to touch the United States of America. And I do not know whether it will spill over to the other countries, but it is a very, very massive earthquake. Now, the Bible speaks to us very, very clearly about the signs that our Lord Jesus himself laid before the earth and laid before the church regarding his glorious return. And among them, in Matthew 24, verse 7, it says at the end that there would be famines and earthquakes in various places. And so the Lord is now asserting to the church. Just recently, he showed me his ceremonial garment, the ceremonial garment of the Lord, to imply that there is going to be a ceremony and also that the preparations in heaven have been finalized. I have seen the wedding rings in the sky. They are in the sky and the heaven is open. In the preparation for the wedding feast of the Lamb of God Almighty, I have seen the golden clock of Jehovah. And that was way back in 2007, on the 3rd of May, and it was 1 minute to midnight. So one can imagine for themselves just how short the time is now, how many seconds in terms of heavenly time. The Bible says nobody knows the day or the hour. So we do not know what that translates into the earthly time, but the message of time is over, we well perceive. The Lord has spoken eloquently about the coming of the Messiah. And right now, as I live towards the Western Hemisphere, He is going to bring a massive earthquake in the Western Hemisphere. I have seen a very, very massive earthquake. The person of the Holy Spirit already spoke with me. He came and stood before me and spoke with me. And this earthquake will be very huge. The earthquake that will shake the United States of America will be very huge. I do not know whether it will spill into the neighboring countries going south or going north. And I don't know, it looks to me, I don't know whether it's going to happen in the day or in the night, but there's a very massive earthquake that is coming. The Lord is coming to shake the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of money, the sexual immorality in the church, the false apostles, the false prophets. Jehovah is calling on to the United States of America to repent and turn away from the wickedness, homosexuality in the land, homosexuality in the church. It's a very tremendous thing to see how much sexual immorality has devastated a nation that should have worshipped the Lord, a nation that was inaugurated based on worshipping of Jehovah, the worship of Jehovah. That now they are worshipping the devil. They have incorporated homosexuality and sexual immorality into their worship. And they are the masters of the earthly gospel of decay, the gospel of prosperity. The Lord has now decreed that the United States of America must repent. Repent and turn away from sin. That the pastors, the churches must now return to the original gospel, the gospel of repentance and holiness, the only gospel that were given at the cross, at Calvary. The gospel of turning away from sin, the gospel of holiness in the church, the gospel that says women must dress holy in the church, men must dress holy in the church, the gospel that separates the church out as the light of their nations. Again, there is going to be a very, very massive earthquake hit the United States of America. And it's amazing because I'm living now towards the Western Hemisphere. Then the Lord speaks about this very, very historic and very massive earthquake. Even the church in Kenya, the church in Australia, the church in Europe, the church in Asia, the church in Latin America, Central America, South America, the church in the islands, the church in China and Russia. All those churches must also be sensitive. They must recognize that if they have the same sin prevail among them, prevail within the house of Jehovah, then they are not in right standing with the Lord. Because the Lord has now rebuked the decay that is in the church in the United States of America. And at this hour, Jehovah is saying that the Messiah is coming. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And this earthquake will happen very, very soon. This is very super urgent. This earthquake will happen very, very soon. And when all this happens, then they shall know that surely the Lord, He has spoken. Shalom. Shalom.
Hallelujah. That was Dr. David Awor, the Lord's end-time servant, the mighty prophet of the Lord. sharing the word that the Lord gave him to speak to the United States of America, a massive earthquake coming to the USA. As I noted earlier, this is a follow-up to the tremendous judgment where the Lord was calling for national repentance for the nation to stand as one man before the Lord, to turn from her wicked ways that we have seen throughout the land in the United States of America, and especially the church in the U.S., which has become completely apostate, regardless of location, border to border and coast to coast, regardless of denomination. We'll go through a couple of scriptures and get an idea of how the Lord sees things versus how in the United States the church has fallen and has taken a worldly view, a fleshly view, and has not feared the Lord, has not honored the Lord. And well, as Scripture says, the name of the Lord is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles because of us and because of the sins in the land and because of the sins in the church. Briefly, Leviticus chapter 10, just a few verses, 3, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. A little background, this is Nadab and Abihu. These are the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were the Levites that were to tend to the altar of the Lord and attend to the work of the Lord on behalf of Israel. They were the ones that were to sacrifice as well unto the Lord. They were anointed through a great protocol, a sanctification to present themselves holy before the Lord. The Lord, as we know, separated the Levites, the priests, the same type of priest that we see in Hebrews 5. We are called to be high priest as the Lord has separated out the church in the United States and the church globally to be high priest on behalf of the Lord. Here we will read about Nadab and Abihu and what befell them when they took the word of the Lord lightly. They did not approach the Lord in holiness, and they started to view the temple and the work of the Lord through a carnal lens. So Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Verse 2. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Verse 3. This is the target verse. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Again, these are Aaron's sons that have just been consumed by the fire of the Lord as they offered profane fire at the altar of the Lord. The Lord gave specific protocol for the incense and for the altar, and yet Nadab and Abihu offered profane fire, that which the Lord had not commanded, and the Lord devoured them. verse 3, and this is what the church in the United States has forgotten, particularly in the house of the Lord. Verse 3, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. This is Leviticus chapter 10, target verse 3, where the holiness of the Lord is called out, that those that go before the Lord and minister before the Lord, so that the Lord is glorified amongst all people. For he says, and before all the people, I must be glorified. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. We know, without even scrutinizing too much, without even scratching the surface, if we look at the house of the Lord today in the United States of America, it looks like a circus, a nightclub, a zoo, a gambling hall, an all-you-can-eat buffet, a social club, anything but a revered and holy house of the Lord. And we see all manner of profane fire and false worship before the Lord. People that are dressing half naked and sensually dancing before the Lord. Not much different than if they were in a nightclub. We see not only the immodest dressing, but lusting from the front door of the church all the way through the sanctuary, at the altar of the Lord, in the praise and worship choir, all the way to the back door. The house of the Lord has not been regarded as holy by those who come near him. So as to support Leviticus 10, and I can understand that there will be those that will say, that sounds pretty harsh and pretty legalistic. After all, we're a contemporary modern church, Pastor Lou. I know we have them here in Washington, D.C. and all over the United States of America, and they do proliferate the mega churches as an example in large metropolitan areas. They want to be contemporary. They want to be hip. They want to be relevant. And this holiness, to be glorified before all the people, the Lord to be glorified, this is just too much. It sounds constraining, and it sounds legalistic to them, and they're not comprehending the holiness of the Lord. And the pushback can be extreme, and you know, where's the social club activities? And we have to be relevant, and we have to be cool, you know. That's the thinking. As they operate their churches with Microsoft Project Plan and Microsoft Excel spreadsheets, and they begin the number crunching process and say, you know, we need to grow a headcount here. Let's see what the master, the boss himself, said. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 2, just a few verses. We'll start at verse 13. This is John chapter 2, starting at verse 13. For all those churches that say, you know, that Leviticus 10 is too harsh, we think the Lord has changed. But in fact, the contemporary churches have exchanged the glory of the Lord and the holiness of the Lord for another God. They have exchanged the mighty God of Israel, Isaac, and Jacob for the God of the flesh. For here we will see Jesus, the Lord and Savior, as he enters the temple courts. This is just the outer courts. This isn't inside the sanctuary. This is outside of the sanctuary. This would be equivalent today if you went into a church to be in all into the reception area or even outside of the doors of the church, even the parking lot. John chapter 2, verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Verse 15. So he made a whip out of cords, and drove all from the temple courts, hallelujah, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Ah, that's my Lord. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." Verse 17. His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." That's John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. It's important to understand the background here, that it's almost time for Passover. Many, many came to Jerusalem from all over to participate in the Passover. It was one of the three high holy days, a call for national assembly. This means that some people could come from quite a distance, and it was not exactly convenient to perhaps bring your cattle and your sheep and your doves, hauling them on the road to the temple. And so the ability to buy and sell what you needed for the sacrifice and what you needed to participate in Passover on the spot, exchanging with silver, was a very convenient, very efficient business system. They turned the house of the Lord into a transaction processing center for blessings, they thought. Now, this is exactly what the house of the Lord looks like in the United States of America. For I know not one person listening today, not one person listening in the future, who has ever been in a church, couldn't say, "You know, I couldn't buy anything there." We know that's a lie from the pit of hell, because we know every church is selling something. And you can buy books, and you can buy tapes and CDs and DVDs and flyers and raffle tickets, and you name it, you can buy it in the outer court, sometimes even in the sanctuary, right here in the United States of America. How many churches? Is there any exception to the buying and selling, the marketing of the blood of the Lamb in the house of the Lord in the United States of America? The bookstores, the education, the activities, the field trips, whatever it may be. The heathen know it's very expensive to be a Christian in the United States of America. And so we see the Messiah as background, as he made the whip out of cords. We have a system set up here in Jerusalem, and we see how Jesus sees this contemporary relevant, very efficient form of false worship and defilement in the house of the Lord. This is exactly what we have today in our contemporary, relevant, purposeful churches that are focused on the world and not focused on the Lord, focused on the things of this earth versus the kingdom of God. As we read in Leviticus 10, by those who come near me, says the Lord, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. Verse 14 in John chapter 2, to conclude, the temple courts for the cattle, the sheep, and the doves, these were also considered righteous, holy sacrifices. This is what would be sacrificed and eaten for the Passover. We know that for the sheep. We also know for the sin offering, the doves, and we also know the cattle as well. And then, of course, the convenient exchanging of money. And we see the response from our Lord and Savior. He actually took the time to make a whip out of cords, and he drove them all from the temple courts. He beat out the product, which is the sheep and cattle, and then he threw out the money changers and the money. That's our Lord and Savior. That's how he views the house of the Lord. And so for all of those that believe a contemporary, modern, relevant church that compromises with the world to be appealing to the world, to all of those that are holding on to those doctrines of devils, the word of the Lord, clearly the Messiah, says otherwise. In other words, if the Messiah were to show up in your church, how much product would he throw out? How much money changers would he be throwing out? How many sacrifices would he be throwing out? Would there really even be anything left of your church by the time the Messiah was done cleansing it? And most would say, well, Pastor Lou, there wouldn't be much left at all, because that's basically all we do in church. We're contemporary, we're relevant, we're buying and selling, and after all, this is America, this is the greatest economy in the world, and efficiency, this is a good thing, and prosperity. And yet we see that the Lord is calling for national repentance, and repentance specifically for the church in the United States of America, where she's fallen into the gospel of consumerism, fallen into the false gospel of prosperity, fallen into the false gospel of materialism. The church in the United States of America, if the Messiah were to show up on the front door, everything would be thrown out. The products, the books, the DVDs, the pamphlets, the candles, everything that is bought and sold in the house of the Lord. For the Lord says clearly, this is John chapter 2, verses 16, stop turning my Father's house into a market. It doesn't get much clearer than that, just in case that was too complicated. Verse 16. Stop turning my Father's house into a market. That's how Jesus views the house of the Lord. That's how Jesus, our Lord and Savior, views buying and selling in the house of the Lord. And that's the holiness of our Lord. But those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, says the Lord. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. And we see now our Lord changes not. Yet the church has taught otherwise. She's taught modernism, all manner of hypocrisy, all manner of compromise. She's taught about a different God, a chimera God, a God part spirit and part flesh. And you heard it from the mighty prophet. Devil worship in the United States of America. Even devil worship in the house of the Lord. For who else could they be worshiping if the Lord says, those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And Jesus says clearly, stop turning my Father's house into a market. Yea, even the heathen and the pagans know that the church has become a massive business machine. We are the original industrial mega prosperity gospel initiators in the United States of America. And unfortunately, we have been the tool and the vessel to promulgate it and propagate it globally, where we have exchanged the holiness of the Lord for materialism and for another God. But now we see in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, just exactly how our Lord and Savior sees the house of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord, and what he thinks of marketing in the house of God, and how abominable it is. But good news, heaven is open. There is time right now to turn and repent, to throw the garbage out, to throw the commercialism out of the house of the Lord. Return to holiness and return to the Lord. For truly, the Messiah is coming. John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. In Numbers 22, we can see how far back this marketing of the gospel, this marketing of the word of the Lord, how far back it actually reaches. For in Numbers chapter 22, we see Balaam, the false prophet. Balaam is the false prophet poster child, both Old Testament and New Testament. He bears the standard of false prophet. We read in Exodus 13, chapter 13, and Exodus chapter 18, the acid test of a prophet sent by God. What that prophet speaks will come to pass, and that prophet will not lead you to another God. Or said another way, that prophet will direct you towards the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this earth. And it's that latter criteria that we will see has failed miserably in the church in the United States, which is why there are so many false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false evangelists, liars, pandemic lying, border to border and coast to coast, in the land of the United States of America. But of course, they learned that first in the secular world. They learned it from the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, the United States Church has catered to Balaam and even held themselves out as Balaam and saw nothing wrong with that. So let's see the definition of a false prophet here at Numbers 22, and then just one verse, verse 7. Numbers 22, verse 7. The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee, that is, the money, for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. So the elders, this is not the riffraff. These are the knowledgeable, respectable, honorable people of Moab. The elders of Moab and Midian, these are the smart guys. They left and they took with them what they knew was required for divination. They knew it would cost money for the prophecy from Balaam. In other words, Balaam was a prophet for hire. And I know this is a steely dagger in the heart of every false prophet in the United States of America. But tonight it's time to repent of all the false prophets, because they're all prophesying for money and they're all false. Right here in the word of the Lord, Numbers 22, verse 7, and again in the New Testament, and again several references in the Old Testament. Here's Balaam prophesying for money. We didn't see Elijah or Elisha do that. In fact, when the Syrian king wanted to reward the prophet, he wouldn't take a penny. Not one iota would he take from the Syrian. But when Gehazi ran after the Assyrian to get a reward, the Lord turned him leprous for life. For the prophet of the Lord, we see neither with Moses, nor Ezekiel, nor Jeremiah, or any of the servants of the Lord prophesying for gain or money. But we know in the United States of America, all you need to do is pick up the phone, quote a number, whatever that number may be, $500, $5,000, $50,000, and you can hire a prophet for the evening, maybe even for a weekend. False prophets, they have entire ministries. Some of them come with, you know, music ministries too, and they'll work their witchcraft and magic and sorceries right there in the house of the Lord for a fee. Some of the things they say will indeed come to pass. But remember the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 13, and again, Exodus chapter 18. This is the acid test. Excuse me, it's Deuteronomy. I've been saying Exodus, Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18. The acid test for a prophet sent by God. He will lead you into the kingdom of God, and that which he says will come to pass. That prophet will not lead you to the kingdom of men. And we have false prophets, not one single real prophet in the United States of America. For if we did, we would not be hearing the call to national repentance from the Lord. We would already be in a repentance revival. We would be participating here in the United States in the great Joel 2:28 end time revival that is going on globally, that Europe and Finland and Netherlands and Sweden are participating in, that South America and Chile and their entire electorate are participating in, both in the secular side as well as the ministry. We see the end time revival in Africa, Angola, secular and the ministry, and in Kenya as well. But not here in the United States of America, because in the United States of America, the house of the Lord is worshiping money. And the house of the Lord is paying Balaam and all of the false prophets that are entertained. And they're paying false apostles. all false apostles in the United States of America. We see this in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. 9 through 24, Acts chapter 8, 9 through 24. We won't read through all of that this evening. Let's read what Peter says, just two verses. This is what Peter, the mighty apostle, this is a real apostle talking now. This is what Peter says to one who tries to bribe the Lord, to one who tries to buy favor with the Lord, to one who mixes the oil of the Holy Spirit with the soil of this world, to those that don't approach the Lord holy, as we read clearly in the Word, Leviticus chapter 10, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. This is what Peter says to Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer had repented of sorcery. He had returned and accepted Jesus as Savior, and he was even baptized. But Simon, in verse 18, when he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now that sounds pretty righteous in the Church of the United States of America. You could see how many ministers would push that away. No, they'd have the offering played out like in a second. Oh, Simon, you know, certainly, here, go ahead and give your offering here, and now you'll get a double anointing. Let's hear what the real apostle says. Verse 20, Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Here's the target, verse 22. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Now, that is a real apostle. We have no real apostles in the United States of America. A real apostle operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. A real apostle will have revival ignited. A real apostle will work miracles of the Lord. And here we see the hallmark of a real apostle with Peter, and he says, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. And we know today it's all too common. Once you hear the word apostle in the Church of the United States, you know you have some sort of business marketeer looking to build a pyramid, and he will say, lay your money, at the feet of the apostle. That's right. They try to go out and collect various churches as though they're building their own little pyramid Ponzi scheme to raise money, and throw your money at the feet of the apostle, and hence they have a business operation, but they're not sent by God. They are false apostles. There are not one in the United States, not one apostle in the United States. You see one that is lying. For if there were one apostle in the United States of America, we would have been in revival a long time ago. We would not hear the Lord speaking massive judgment to the land of the United States of America, a massive earthquake that we are on official record at 11:50 p.m., 9/11/2013, spoken by the mighty prophet of the Lord, a real prophet, on September 8th, 2013, 9/8 of 2013. Peter goes on and tells Simon the sorcerer, Peter, a real apostle, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. And don't we know it's the Lord that he searches our heart, fibers of our heart that is deceitfully and wicked above all else. And the Lord is also searching and judging our thoughts. We see this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, where the whole church has fallen into sexual sin and lust, where Jesus says, if you even lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. And so here we see Simon being rebuked, Simon the sorcerer, for having such a thought in his heart. And then Peter concludes and shows the sin. This is the sin of this is the sin that the apostle exposes by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. This is how you know an apostle and prophet is present. Sin will be exposed. Their eyes will be open to sin. For oftentimes we don't even know what we need to repent of unless the mighty Holy Spirit shows us. And so in verse 23, Peter opens the eyes of Simon even more, Simon the sorcerer, and he says, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. This is Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. This is the mighty apostle Peter in verse 20 speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see Peter revealing the sin, just as we read as well in the Word in Lamentations chapter 2, where the prophets did not reveal the sin. They were false prophets. They were prophesying for money, just like Balaam, just like they are in the United States of America here. The prophets have not rebuked sin. They have not revealed sin because there are no prophets in the United States of America. They have simply prophesied for money, and likewise for the apostles. And they have only worked for their own flesh and for their own kingdom and not for the kingdom of God. And here's the evidence of a real apostle. He calls for the repentance of the wickedness, and then he exposes the sin by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit so Simon the sorcerer can repent. For how else can you explain? For he says, I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. And we know we can't see bitterness with our physical eyes. And to be captive to sin, clearly Peter is referring to the spiritual condition of Simon the sorcerer, who was captive to sin, who was greedy, and the bitterness here is defiling. And we see the defilement of Simon the sorcerer. Earlier on in Acts chapter 8, there is more background on Simon, but it's worthwhile to note that in verse 12, they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 13, Simon the sorcerer himself believed and was baptized. And yet, we read just a few verses later that he needs to repent of this wickedness. The wilderness of repentance is where the church belongs as she waits for the coming of the Messiah. And the church has been taught for too long. I am here, Simon the sorcerer. He was baptized himself and he believed and going about his business, but his heart was not right before the Lord. He was not walking in the wilderness of repentance. He was clearly walking in the flesh, and in the thoughts of his heart were wickedness. And the church has been taught today that let's give a commitment unto the Lord this afternoon, and then for the rest of the week, and actually for the rest of your life, live any way you want to. And yet that's a lie from the pit of hell. For the Lord tells us, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. Simon the sorcerer, well worth reading offline carefully and closely by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. And then soon the Lord will reveal that indeed the land of the United States is full of false apostles. And indeed, the church does need to remain, first enter into the wilderness of repentance, and then remain there until the coming of our glorious Messiah. We heard from the mighty prophet in wrapping up of a massive earthquake coming to the United States of America, an urgent prophecy. We don't know if it's days, weeks, it could be hours, but this is the official record and this is the official broadcast to the church in the United States of America and to the land in the United States of America. There's many more prophecies from the mighty prophet, hundreds, at repentandprepareTheWay.org. That's one word, repentandprepareTheWay.org. And also at JesusIsLordRadio.info. That's JesusIsLordRadio.info. The prophecy that we heard rebroadcast this evening was originally broadcast live on JesusIsLordRadio.info. And they broadcast live from Nakuru, Kenya, 24/7. And it can be picked up off of the web streaming through that URL, JesusLordRadio.info. I strongly encourage listeners, this is the first you've come across the mighty works of the Lord and what he's doing today, right now, the hot bread from the oven. Please do look and see at JesusLordRadio.info. And there's much more information there. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, and you're with Pastor Lou. Our website is thehighwayofholiness.us. We'll have this radio segment there, as well as the scriptures from this evening's readings, and there are other articles there as well. That's highwayofholiness.us. And so as the Lord leads, and until the next segment, shalom, shalom.